Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back and relax, and let's chat about what's going on in the stars above. And we have not only today to look at, but also the weekend. And the biggest news for the weekend, of course, is the full moon. And today we have Venus moving into Aries. And that seems to be the dominant energy, that one and the full moon. So we'll be talking about that, as well as talking about some of the other things that are going on. So let's dig in, shall we? I have two charts this morning, one for the full moon and one for the day in general. Today, the moon is in Cancer. And that is in, actually, we are now already in the void of course. That means the moon is winding up its trip through the sign of Cancer and preparing to burst into Leo later on in the afternoon. So today the moon is void of course from 7:43 a.m. Pacific time until 2:45 p.m. also Pacific time. So until about 5:45 p.m. for you all on the East Coast. So pretty much the day, a good chunk of the day for us here on the West Coast, nearly the entire day for you on the East Coast, the workday that is, are sitting in the void of course, which means if we don't always get to start something new, it is a day where we have a little more challenge going on to try to get things done. It might be a really good day to just finish what's on your desk and get some tasks done so that you can feel like you've got check marks that you've, you know, done. And, you know, not plan on starting anything new or big or going into any, you know, major sort of a new project. Who does that anyway on a Saturday, on a Friday, right? Because that means Saturday is tomorrow. And why start something new and huge today, right? So take the day, relax, get some things cleaned up, get some things off your desk, and then be on your way. So the moon this morning left us with the opposition to Saturn. And so for the day beginning anyway, it may feel a little lethargic. We may feel a little low energy. We may feel like, you know, we're still in a dreamland. I know this morning I woke up right away and felt like I didn't really want to get up, but I was wide awake. So I got up and then I just sort of went through motions. So it feels like today, at least right now, isn't really about getting anything big accomplished. But it is good for spiritual study, for doing some yoga, doing some meditation, just getting some, you know, just be good to yourself, be kind to yourself, be compassionate, because we're left with this energy until later on today when the moon will make the move out of Cancer and into the sign of Leo, where then it will immediately come into a trine with the planet Venus. We get some smooth flowing energy, some good stuff going for the weekend, but also a square to Uranus, which means there may be some surprises, some changes in the schedule, some unexpected things that happen. So be prepared, right? Just be prepared. I'm going to click back over to Facebook really quickly and see if, I'm not sure how I got there. And I'm not sure how I got there. I have too many groups now. So I have this long list of things going on. I just wanted to say good morning to people that are checking in with us. And let's see, I don't know who that is yet because my computer's going slow. Here we go. Christine Erickson, good morning. She said, it's afternoon here. I hurt my finger yesterday at work. You know what, Christine? I saw a picture of that on Facebook where your index finger, I think it was all bandaged. And I saw a picture of your fingernail that looked like it had been ripped up a bit. Yikes. Don't need so many painkillers as yesterday. Well, that's good. So we wish you well. We wish you healing and speedy healing at that. Tom, good morning to you. Vicky, good morning. Jacqueline, good morning. And I'm sure there are more of you there that I just can't see, but good morning to everybody and welcome to Living Astrology. Okay, so let's go back to our chat about what's going on for the day today. Later in the day, as I said, the moon will move into Leo. So let's break down a bit what Leo means, because it's going to be an important part of the weekend as the full moon is across the Leo and Aquarius axis, with the moon in Leo and the sun, of course, in Aquarius. So with the moon in Leo, we're dealing with self-expression. So everybody is wanting to get themselves expressed, be heard. And it often is a sign where we tap down into what we are passionate about for our own ideas, for the thing, you know, those creative impulses that have been just sort of, you know, playing around up there in your mind. It's time to bring those in. And it's time to start to put the pieces together there. When the moon moves into Virgo later in the weekend, then it might be time to actually start putting the pieces into play. But for the moment, it is about the creation of it. It's about the love of creation of your ideas and the expression of them, bringing your desires to life. And there's also a need often with the moon in Leo to have an audience. It's not enough just to have that brilliant idea. You want to share it with somebody and you want to be able to provide that creative energy out there to other people who might benefit from what it is you're doing. So it's often a sign of creative ambition. And that creative ambition isn't just to do it for the love of doing it. It's because you really want to share that energy with someone else or that idea or that opportunity. This is a sign that we always think of about fun and games. This is the sign of vacation, of playing, of having a good time, of not taking the world seriously, celebrating, you know, get some really good music on as we get later to the day and for the weekend and celebrate, right? Play, do something fun, take a vacation. Maybe you just need a 1 or 2 day vacation, get away from it all for the weekend. This is a good time when the moon is in Leo to be able to do that. Leo also brings us into the drama of love. This is a sign that is in love with love and the drama of relationship, being happy with loved ones, and especially that special loved one, right? This is a great time to be in love, fall in love, or if not, then bestowing gifts and sharing love with other people, the people that are closest to you. Pay attention to someone, share your time, share your talents, just share being there with someone. It's a great time to shower somebody with affection or watch for other people who want to shower you with affection. Being generous with your love, being generous with your time, being generous by treating people to things. For example, you know, gifting somebody something, just taking the time. Remember, we're still in the gate of listening, just sitting down with someone and really listening to what's going on. What are they saying to you? And of course, as we have with every sign, there are certain things to watch out for. In Leo, we're watching out for ego, right? The ego taking over. Whatever it is you're doing, that ego is always there, ready to take over, right? Watch out for being overly self-centered or selfish or vain. Remember, I like the idea of being self-centered, but we can sometimes, with Leo energy, take that as we always can with, it seems, Leo, take it to the nth degree and overexpand into that territory. This is also a sign that suffers at times from the lack of confidence. And if you are in that negative frequency or that fear of showing people what you feel or talking to people about your ideas, then this could be the more negative expression of that moon in Leo, is being in that lack or feeling inadequate to the task. So here we have, you know, kind of a dual thing going on. On one hand, you can be overly self-centered. And on the other hand, you can be overly self-deprecating or hiding from the expression of your gifts and your talents. Also, sometimes Leo energy is all about the win at the expense of integrity. That's the more negative expression of this, where you don't care what it takes to win. You just want to win, and you loosen up all of those usual regulations and rules and strictures and tenets that you live by, the values that you live by in order to win. So it's a call for us to stay in integrity and not to seek winning at the expense of others. And it's interesting because that sort of shows up today in our Pleiadian Earth energy as well, where it's a possibility that we need to release the energy of competition with others in favor of cooperation and in favor of co-creating. So it's, so I like that that dovetails together. We'll get into that in a little bit. I'm going to go back to Facebook real quick, check in again. Debbie Tippett's Tumiel, good morning, Debbie Hedden. Good morning, Monique Alexander. Good morning to you. And anybody else out there, just let me say good morning. And I hope everybody's having a good day so far. It looks to be a pretty good weekend, actually. Today with Venus, the goddess of love, the energy of our values, of relationships, and that love energy. And it's often the more physical attraction type of love, as opposed to the higher unconditional love, that type of thing. You know, I was listening to, was it a commercial? Gosh, now I don't remember. And it might've been a commercial during Super Bowl or maybe something else I saw where the Greeks had five different words for love. They had, and now I don't remember what all those words were, but I do remember one was Eros. That would be the more physical attraction, love, the sexual energy. That's Venus. And often Mars plays that role as well. And then at the highest end is agape, which is that unconditional love, that more spiritual love. And there were three others in between there that I don't remember. There was like platonic love, friendship, that kind of thing. And anyway, but I thought it was interesting that the Greeks had five words that meant love. And, you know, other languages have that too, where there's, you know, more than one word to express love. And yeah, I don't know that English has that. Maybe there's affection, but I don't think we have something that's quite like what the Greeks did. But today, Venus in Aries until March 4th brings us into that more physical love. It sort of lights up our passion, and we want to begin something new. We become more bold in the expression of love, and our desires are also more apparent. And we talked a bit about desire earlier in the week when we were talking about the gate 13 or the gene key 13, and how desire in its negative state in the lower frequency band can create a whole host of problems as we're trying to fill up a void. And as soon as we reach a desire or something comes to help us fill that void, then we want more. Right? So we never quite find fulfillment. Well, here we might have desire for love, desire for money and a more financial flow or financial abundance, as well as the need for filling the void with relationship energy. In fact, we sort of crave that new beginning in relationships. And this is often about setting a romantic partner up in your life. So we become impatient with the old and we crave the new. And the first few days of Venus's transit through Aries are going to be a bit tricky, as she immediately comes right into contact with the black moon Lilith, triggering your shadow, right? The shadow in Aries is a little bit about being bold, being able to go out. And there's a level here of codependence that can come up, that field of energy about independence, interdependence, codependence can show up. It's a very Libra sort of energy, because Libra is the opposite sign of Aries, right? So we can become sort of exposed to where it is in our lives where we've become too codependent, or maybe we've got too independent and it's affecting our relationships. So we have that to work on. And then we also have Venus almost immediately after that. In fact, this all happens on like Sunday. Venus comes into contact or a conjunction with Chiron. Now the wound becomes triggered. It becomes apparent. And we really have to begin applying compassion and forgiveness to ourselves and to the people in our lives, to our relationships. And then later we have Venus who will conjunct Eris. That might be some sparks, is the more revengeful, discordant side of the divine feminine, the more negative repercussions of relationship energy. It's like having this field of romance that comes over you in the beginning of this transit, and you fall in love head over heels, and then something happens as this transit progresses that triggers a wound either within you, or what you start to see in the mirror of the relationship isn't so good, and now we have to backpedal, or we strike out at the relationship. So again, we're going to have to find a place within us to be able to be patient with ourselves and others, to find forgiveness and compassion. Later on, after Eris, this won't be until just after March 4th, Venus will find her way into the arms of Uranus, and, you know, all bets are off. There's much more change and unexpectedness coming up. So literally for the next month or so of Venus energy, it's a little chaotic. It's a little up and down. It's a little bit like the chase, right? Where we're chasing after the relationship or the person. We fall in love, we get into that, and then we go, oh God, what am I doing here? And then we back off. So relationships might be a little bit dicey. Now, here's where another energy that we've been talking about all this week comes into play, and that's the idea of mirroring. What are your mirrors in this relationship or in any of the relationships? If you've been bored in your relationship and you start looking outside of yourself for something to relieve that boredom, what does that mean for you personally? So, you know, be very aware and conscious of what's happening with you. And remember too, that Venus rules our values. What are our values, and are we living by them? Or do we, you know, throw the values out the window in favor of this more bold, rash, impatient energy? Remember, Aries is Mars territory. So we have love meeting kind of that assertive or aggressive energy, or that more impatient energy. And then the consequences of that become apparent as we move through the month. Aries is a sign that is square or in a challenging aspect to the planets in Capricorn. So off and on throughout the month, especially as we move a little bit later into maybe next week or the early part of the third week of February, Venus begins to aspect Jupiter, Pallas Athena, Pluto, the South Node, Saturn. And so we bring up some more deconstruction, reconstruction energy then that is more focused in your relationship arena, and or in your financial arena, or even in what your values are. But all in all, this is and more a adventurous, flirty, romantic, bold energy that we're going to have in terms of our relationships for the next few weeks. So I guess we can enjoy that, but just watch out for the pitfalls, right? That's like any energy, any sign, any planet moves into. Has its high frequencies, has its medium, neutral frequencies, and then also the more shadowy frequencies. And we can see that as we look. We could even look at the gates that Venus is in. Venus, today's the 7th, Venus moved into the gate 25. Ooh, so that's an interesting juxtaposition for Venus to move into, because she's representing the more, let's say, carnal, physical, sexual love. And then she is in the gate 25, and the gate 25 in human design is a gate of the unconditional love. So we have two kinds of love that, you know, opposite spectrums coming together in terms of the gene keys. And this is where we might feel constricted in love. We might feel constricted in the way that we are in our relationships, or constricted by a relationship. And we are designed to move up into the gift level of this energy, which would be acceptance, and then ultimately up to universal love. Interesting. Mars even changes into a different gate today, the gate 11, the gate of light and the illumination. So the possibility is that we could really be illuminated by what we see in the reflection of the mirrors in our relationships. I like that too. All right, so going back to Facebook here, Debbie says, and yes, if you are pulling cards, I will take one, please. I don't know if I will find time to do that, but if I do, I will put you there, Debbie. Vicky, I have Venus in Aries in the 10th house. So your passion is often directed to relationships that build your career or your profession or the expression of your authority in the outer world, Vicky. Then Jacqueline says, might be where love and war came from. Well, literally, we call the Venus or the Aries Libra axis in your astrology chart the axis of love and war. And we do that because this is where Libra, which is really about your relationships, it is a sign of the support of those relationships, is opposing Aries, where Mars is included as the ruler. And so we are pitting Mars against Venus in that axis. So love and war, right? So sometimes our relationships become a battleground where we're playing out the highest and the lowest energies of relationship. The key here is now, you know, we are all, no matter how wide awake you are, how conscious you are, you know, we are all possibly going to be in the thralls of that love and war energy. So the high side of this is when you are beginning to experience that conflict, what do? Do you react or do you respond, right? The difference is that reaction is often an emotional knee jerk in the moment. And it's often unconscious because there's been no time to think about it or to consider that what that reaction might bring you. So the other side of the coin is responding to whatever that trigger is. And in response, you're taking that moment, however brief it might be. Maybe it's a deep breath and then the out breath before you respond to whatever that trigger might have been in a relationship. Now, other people, of course, may not be as aware of this field of energy that they're walking into. And so they may be in reaction, and that can trigger you to react back. So there is the potential for a lot of work to be done in our relationships over the next few weeks. And, you know, specifically, this tends to be your love relationships, your romantic partners. But I wouldn't discount that this can show up in whatever the relationships are in your life. And if you already know that there's a weak spot in a relationship, you can almost bet with Black Moon Lilith and Chiron, and then later Eris being involved, that this triggers that more negative expression, the weakness in the relationship. So if there were already suspicions that a loved one is cheating on you or something, it's going to probably bring that up. If you are if you tend to argue about minor little things, then this could bring that up. So the key to all of this dynamic over the next few weeks is really about using it as a mirror. What is it showing you about you, and how do you want to respond? Do you want to respond with compassion, with love, with forgiveness, with understanding, with tolerance, or do you want to go the other route, which is impatience and anger and upset and conflict? So it's a choice that we get to make, and it is something that will likely be up in everybody's faces in some way, shape, or form. So we go with the flow, right? We go with that flow. So again, that is Venus moving into Aries. Those first few days will be the trickiest. Later, we will get into more tricky water with, it'll be tricky Earth with Capricorn, and also with that Eris conjunction. And even then, when Venus moves out of Aries and into Taurus after March 4th, she will come immediately into connection with Uranus. So there might be some surprising things. And anyway, questions about that? I think I saw somebody question the, Tom says, this is a Venus return for me. So a new level of Venus relationships, potentially. Venus in the eighth house is about sex, death, and rebirth. This is a transformation in your chart, Tom. And Jacqueline says, that's good to know. So Venus is really a benefic planet. We often think of her as benefic. But I want you to understand that even a benefic planet has its more dark side or its more difficult energy. And Venus in myth is, well, first of all, if we look at her astronomically, she does things her way. She rotates opposite of all the other planets, and or on her axis, she's, you know, where we're rotating counterclockwise, she's rotating clockwise. And she is also hotter on her surface. She burns hotter than Mercury, which is even closer to the sun. And that's owing to Venus having a runaway greenhouse effect on her surface, which is something that we're desperately trying to avoid here on this planet, where global warming is attributed to that greenhouse effect, where certain chemicals in the air come together and form sort of a wet blanket, if you will, over the planet, holding in the heat and changing the weather system. So when we're looking at Venus, she's not all kisses and cuddles and hearts and, you know, blowing kisses. She's really also burning hot. and she's that hot under the surface kind of energy. So where we're all burning, you know, let's face it, we all want love. And we all want to have, we all crave as human beings to be in relationship. And some of us are better at relationship than others. Some of us have problems. We go from relationship to relationship to relationship. And we never realize that the breakups, the common denominator is me, right? And so what is that showing you? So here's a grand opportunity for us to really look at ourselves clearly in relationships through that mirror, not as a way to beat yourself up, but as a way to understand yourselves. Now, I'm talking about relationships, but Venus also represents our finances and she rules money in the chart. So are there repeating patterns that you can work with now that give you a new beginning in that area? Aries energy is the first sign of the zodiac. It's a new beginning, a new round, if you will, of Venus energy for us in the year. So there's that. Okay. Let's see. How about questions now? Would you say the better it seems, the darker the shadow side? No, I really wouldn't. I'm thinking you're asking the question that if you feel like you have really good relationships, that it's hiding a shadow. Is that what you mean, Jacqueline? If so, I wouldn't go there with that. I would say that the shadow always comes up, right? It's always going to come up. There's always going to be a trigger that brings up your shadow side. So even the best of relationships, and trust me, I've been married almost 38 years here. And in my relationship, there have been many times, many triggers, but it's about how you work through those triggers, right? How do you work through them? Do you work on yourself through that mirror? Are you casting blame? Are you casting victim energy outward? So really, the energy is, it's really good sometimes, I think, to be triggered, to be able to look at the shadow. But I wouldn't say that if you have a really good relationship that you're hiding the shadow. Although, I mean, sometimes I'm really surprised at what the shadow can do, the hold that the shadows have on your life. So remember, relationships, money, and your values. So another thing that comes up for me with this is, are you walking your talk? So if you're out there stating that you have certain values, that you have, we all have core values. And are you living according to those core values? Are you walking your talk? So that might be another thing that we have to work through in our own personal lives, depending on how this is showing up in your own chart. So walking your talk, big deal, right? That's a big deal. And are you living from those values, or are you just, you know, paying lip service to them and not really living by that? That is another theme that shows up here as well. And I can't remember if that is showing up in the Pleiadian earth energy, or does that show up in the full moon? I think it also shows up in the full moon. Mm-hmm, it does. It shows up at the full moon. Let's see. Jacqueline says, I'm single. So LOL, I'm a bit lucky now, I have kids, one called going insane. Relationships, right? It's all about relationships. So if you don't have a romantic partner, somebody else might be filling that role of the relationship that needs work, where you can use it to work on yourself. So it might be a friend, it could be a relative, it could be a coworker, it could be a neighbor, it could be almost anybody really. But you just watch those relationships in your life over the next couple of weeks, at least through March. I'm going to say March 7th or 8th, because giving time for Venus to also conjunct Uranus during this time. Okay, now I am going to go back to Zoom here and share my screen with you as I want to show you the, let's see if I can even do that. Hold on here. Not yet. I want to go to that. There we go. I'm going to show you the full moon chart on my screen so we can take a look at that together. And hopefully you are seeing the chart of the full moon. Now, this is a chart that I used to write the 2020 Astrology Almanac. So I actually set this time on this chart for East Coast time. So this is a chart of February 9th, which is the day that the full moon occurs If you are anything but the West Coast, right? The West Coast of the United States, the full moon will occur at 11:34 p.m. on Saturday night and 2:34 a.m. on Sunday morning for those of you on the East Coast. And if you're in the Greenwich Mean Time Universal Time Zone, it is 7:34 a.m. for you all on Sunday and all the other points in between and beyond. So we have the full moon at 20 degrees of Leo and Aquarius. So I want to show you that here. Can you guys see my my cursor? Tom, you were having trouble yesterday seeing my cursor. I think that was when I was on paint as opposed to this one, where now you can see my pink cursor here. And all of you should be able to see me circling the moon in Leo. And I'm going to go quickly back to Facebook just to check that to see if everybody is seeing that. No, how come I'm not seeing? Never mind. It's over here. Vicky, yes, thanks for, there's no change in the cursor, Tom. It's just a difference in the programs. The programs use a different type of cursor, not my choice, except my choice was to make this cursor pink and to make it bigger so that when I do these things with astrology charts, you can see this. So here we have the moon in Leo at 20 degrees. Here we have the sun down here in Aquarius at 20 degrees. We are across an axis. So if you want to look at the mechanics of this in a chart, this is what a full moon looks like. It is in an opposition. They are at the same degree of opposing signs. And we're looking at a focus then across an axis of individualism here in Leo versus the team or the group or the team friendship down here in Aquarius. So it's pitting the I against the we, and how do we come into a balance with that? So remember then that a full moon is about the culmination of something, right? It's bringing something into completion. It is perhaps revealing something to you. It might be a time for you to release something and let it go. It might be about bringing something into fullness and or being able to see from a new perspective what needs to be done next. So the full moon here showing up in individualism versus teamwork might be where it is that you need to either draw in more help from outside of you, or where you may need to release getting that so much help and be able to stand up on your own. It all depends on where this is happening in your personal chart. So what you want to do, if you've got your charts that we sent out with the Astrology of 2020, you want to take a look at find Leo, wherever Leo is in your chart. Find the house that the moon is going to be sitting in. It looks like this one is just barely into the ninth house, where the sun down here then would be in the opposite house, the third. And that is an axis then of individualism or teamwork in the expression of something in networking or in communication, getting out and about in the world, becoming more social, broadening one's horizons. So if this were the chart of a person, that's where they would be focusing this in their chart. So depending on the house it's in, it and the or the axis of the houses that the full moon is in versus the sun, that's where this will be playing out in your own chart. Now, a full moon illuminates the conflict between the I and the we. So it's not like this is all, you know, flowers and coming up roses. This is maybe a conflict, and it's likely an inner conflict. And I know specifically where this is going on in my own life, and I have trouble trying to articulate how to understand this a little bit because it's sort of subtle. Like, for example, some of us belong to groups, or we've joined into clubs, or we belong to something. Maybe it's a humanitarian group. Maybe it's a team that, you know, at work that you belong to or that you're a part of. And here's that need to be able to express the truth of who you are and what your desires are versus, you know, the direction that the team is going in. in my own life, what I'm experiencing is a direction that a specific team, it's a team, a group of people, that a direction they're moving in that I feel sort of left out of, that I sort of feel not in resonance with. And so I'm really feeling this dynamic now of wanting to separate out of that, that energy, away from that group. And I don't know if this is right or wrong, right? The full moon brings this into, you know, into your fruition. It's bringing this to a culmination point. Maybe it's bringing you to a choice point in some way. And so in all of our lives, then maybe it's not the best time to make a new start, but it is a time for us to really take a look at what is this moon bringing to us? What is the illumination, right? What are the ahas, the revelations? What is it that's coming up for completion perhaps? But that's exactly what this is, this where you might encounter this as a dilemma in your life. So be aware of that. During the full moon, that it is highlighting maybe a dilemma or an inner conflict where it's pitting you against a team or you against others. And, you know, we could look at it in that more negative us versus them, but that isn't really highly conscious, is it? So rather than, I mean, initially maybe we see it as an us versus them or an I want versus they want. Initially, that's what we may come up against as we see that energy starting to really come into play. But ultimately, consciousness can take over, and then you start to evaluate how you feel. If you're emotionally defined in your human design, this is the time to really check in with the emotional field. How do you feel about this? What feels good to you or what feels correct to you? Because you don't want to just jump and out of something or into something even. Because the other end could be true too. Maybe it's you having been invited into a group and your, you know, dilemma is about whether or not you should join in or not. So we have these different dilemmas that are showing up, but we don't have to choose yet, is I guess what I'm saying. We can take our time here, look at all of the sides of the equation, all of the facets, and then choose. Do we only want to participate with the group part-time? Do we want to just jump out of it completely and be on our own? Do we want to go all in with a group and just blend our energies together? So all of this is that dilemma. And across the house or the houses that this is in your personal chart is where this may be showing up for you. Then if you add in any planets that you happen to have anywhere near the 20 degree mark in your chart, that's where, you know, you could get further information about the dilemma, right, about what is going on. So when you're looking at a chart of the full moon itself, and then we can look at, let me see if I can make this just a titch bigger. Aha, that's more than a titch. That's pretty big. So what we want to look at here, we've got 20 Aquarius and 20 Leo, where the sun and the moon are. What are the connections it's making with other planets? As that sometimes modifies or enhances the effect. Well, this particular full moon, even though we have quite a bit of connections, if we just go down the aisle here of the column of moon connections and we go down the column of the sun's connections, they're mostly minor connections. Mostly. I mean, there's a couple of bigger ones, but they've already been in effect. That's not new. For example, there's Mars squaring the sun. Is it a square Mars? Hold on. Sun and Mars are in a sextile, and the moon and Mars are in a trine, but they're 5 degrees before actually getting to exact point. So it's not quite there, but it might be enhancing a bit the conflict that you're feeling as, you know, Mars in Sagittarius still is really bound by his beliefs and his self-righteous, you know, adherence to certain qualities and certain things and certain patterns. And so this moon may be upsetting that or feeding into it, right? So we got to watch our reactions again, right? How we are showing up and being conscious about the choices we're making. There is a minor square going on between Mercury and Pluto during the full moon. Mercury right here in the sign of Pisces at 8 degrees, and Pluto over here at 23 degrees of Capricorn, and a semi-square is pretty, Sorry, yeah, Pluto over here and is a 45 degree angle, which is why I just got lost here for a second because I'm like 23 to 8. Yeah, 45 degrees. So half of a square. It adds some tension to the atmosphere of the full moon and hard to put your finger on kind of tension. It might just be a worry that you have about something. It might be a power struggle that's going on within you. I see this as a power struggle likely in the mind, tugging you, that angel on the one shoulder, devil on the other shoulder, pulling you back and forth and back and forth in the mind, going round and round and round, which, by the way, is why in human design we do not make decisions from the mind. Right? The mind is not a good place for decision making. It has only awareness. It has no energy to choose. It has no energy to land on a decision. The motors are for that, right? The motors, the root center, or the spleen is a good place also, and it's not a motor, but it can be a good place for decision, intuition. The sacral, which is always humming and always in response to something. If it's emotional, it's that emotional wave where we need clarity over time. Sometimes you have ego or will authority, which is what do you want, right? You're going your own way. We should sing that song someday. Go your own way. And so that energy is popping up as well during Saturday, Sunday's full moon. And these are like I said, this one's under the surface. And don't forget, then we still have Venus then conjuncting the black moon Lilith, triggering the shadow in Aries, which is about being independent or codependent, or is it interdependent, right? We want to create interdependence, but we still need to maintain some level of independence. But we also have to know when it's proper to go and where we need other people that we can depend on to help us along our pathway. We don't want to become codependent on them, though, because then you lose your identity and your decision-making capability. So a lot coming up here about this. And again, with Venus conjunct the black moon Lilith and then ultimately conjunct Chiron, compassion and forgiveness, and maybe that we're drawn during this weekend to those particular problem areas in our lives by the light of this moon so that we can solve this problem, right? And we can ask where it is that we have not been living by our values. And here again, we have that. Are we walking our talk energy that shows up in the full moon as well? And typically, now, anytime you've got a planet that's going to come across Chiron, and by the way, here's where Black Moon and Venus and Chiron are all sitting together. You can see these lines, these little tick lines tell you how close they are. 1 degree, 27 minutes, 1 degree, 44 minutes, 2 degrees, 53 minutes. They are very tight. The tighter the aspect is, or the conjunction is, the more pronounced the energy is. So this is where the wounded areas in our relationships might be exposed. And so this could be a difficult weekend, especially if you are stubborn or you are wanting your own way or you become impatient. But if you remember everything is based on unconditional love, then this could be a whole lot easier for everybody. All right, let me stop sharing my screen, go back to Facebook and see how we are doing with questions, comments, that kind of thing. Good morning, Angela. And yes, 20 degrees. So let me just reiterate. So February 8th or 9th, depending on your time zone, at 20 degrees Leo, that's where the moon will be, and the sun at 20 degrees of Aquarius, 11:34 p.m. on the west coast of the US, 2:34 a.m. on the east coast, and the Greenwich Mean Time in or UTC time in Europe, 7:34 a.m. And I'm not sure what that would mean for you all in Australia and New Zealand. But if you got your astrology of 2020 information, I set your charts for where you live. All you have to do is look at the page. Let's see if I can show it to you. So if you guys have that, you can look at it. Let me go back to Zoom so I can actually see myself sharing. Let's see, here's the eighth right here. You go here, right? There's the time right there underneath the full moon that tells you what's going on, what time it is. I know that's a little bit blurry, but that's where you would find the time that it's occurring for you in your time zone, right? In your time zone. Okay. Just wanted to make sure everybody was clear about that. Let me go back again to Facebook. Tom, how do we get ourselves out of the duality? You know, that's, we could devote an entire day, weekend, weeks, life to understanding duality. How do we get ourselves out of the duality? We don't get ourselves out of it. We're here on a planet. We're stuck in it. What we have to do is learn how to come to the middle of that energy, how to be both, right? And how to understand that duality isn't a bad thing. It's the two sides of, it's different sides of the same coin kind of thing. So lots of different possibilities there, but duality is a part of who we are. We just have to learn how to understand how it works in our world and not, you know, always create division out of duality. Angela, I have Nessu at 23 degrees Leo. Not sure what Nessu is, but planning to look that up. A good one, because I don't know what that is either. If I remember correctly, that can be... I'm sorry, I just don't remember. I want to say it is something, a difficulty, right? Some kind of difficulties that come up, but I'm not sure. So Angela, look that one up for us. Jacqueline, yes, thank you so much. It's really great to have that calendar. That calendar is your particular lifesaver because it's going to tell you when these things are coming up. And then the timeline part of it that went with it gives you the interpretation of some of the major things that are happening for you personally. All you do is go to the timeline, look up that day, you'll be able to read exactly what it is that's up for you. Now, you have to know that on any given day, there are often contrary aspects that are happening or contrary configurations. You might have a trine with a planet that brings up something really good, but over here you have a square going on to another planet and it creates havoc. So the idea here is that you are much more whole than just one aspect would seem, or even two aspects, but it gives you an idea of where the Achilles heel might be for the day, or where the tender spots are for the day, what not to do, what to do, what to remember when you're out and about in the world. But it isn't always necessarily exactly what will transpire for you, because of course there's a lot going into a chart. Bless you, Gesundheit. Okay. Oh, Nessu. Ah, gotcha, Tom. You're so funny sometimes. Okay. Let's see. What was the other thing? The Pleiadian Earth energy of the day. Let's go back to that. Today we are in 8 planting. And remember, the 8 energy is the energy of connection and abundance. And this is about love that is unconditionally connecting all of us together. And it's that, it's an energy that sort of comes out from the heart and connects to others at the same point in the heart. And we saw that, remember, I posted that picture that one time of the 8 and on its side, the infinity symbol, and how where they cross each other, that point is the point of connection. And that's what this number 8 really brings us to. This is the universal energy of the day. So all life forms are connected here today at this particular nexus, if you will. It also shows us that there is no need for competition. Competition is not the way. It is cooperation that is the way. That is the natural order of humanity, is not competition, but it is the connection, the cooperation that we have together that unites us, right? The uniting principles as opposed to the dividing principles. But this is a day to also connect the dots, to find all of the different things that have been going on in your life. What has this week so far brought you to? What kind of awareness have you developed over the week? And then draw some parallels, draw some lines, and connect up, right? This is a time to see yourself in others through that wonderful karmic mirror, right? The mirror of your relationship, showing you the truth of who you are, and also showing you where it is that you still have work to be done. That is the best and high side of our connection in the mirror. And the energy today for the earth is in planting energy. It is Khan in the Mayan calendar, which was represented by a seed, the seed being planted, right? So planting is a lucky day. So today has a sort of lucky energy moving through it. We might be lucky with am lucky in love. We might be lucky in opportunities. We might be lucky in new ideas that show up. We may be lucky in the connections that we draw that take us into a new level or a new plateau. This is not a day to act with immaturity. This is a day for us to really bring, to pull ourselves up, to put on your big girl panties, so to speak, and to follow through. This energy of planting seems to be it is a very youthful sign. It's very Aries-like. It reminds me of Aries energy very much so, in that there's that youthful quality. And sometimes that youthful quality plants the seed and then moves on to something else and forgets that a seed needs nurturing. So this is about the ability to follow through from the seed to the sprout, to the mature plant, to the harvesting of something, whatever that plant brings to you, right? So whatever that idea is, we plant the seed, then we nurture it, then we watch it move into maturity, and then we follow through with the harvest of that idea or that relationship, etc. So this also triggers our need to be acknowledged, to be rewarded, to be seen in our genius. This is about our desire to make a contribution. It sounds very much like the gate 8 in your human design, which is a gate that wants to be recognized for the contribution they're making. They don't care if it's money. They don't care if it's applause. They don't care if it's just a pat on the back that says you're doing a great job or thank you so much. It's that recognition of doing what it is that is helping the planet, your contribution to the planet. And sometimes that trigger to our need to be acknowledged can turn into narcissism, can turn into that more negative Leo energy. And our moon will be in Leo, so we'll want to watch that later on in the day. Does that need for acknowledgement then become you doing things just to be acknowledged and not doing things from a true place within you? So again, we are back to walking your talk, right? Remember that thoughts lead to intentions that lead to feelings that then create our reality. So what are you focused on, right? What are you focusing on? All righty. And time-wise, I have only a couple of minutes to do a few readings here. I know Debbie Tibbetts, Tumiel, you said something about wanting a reading. And I think it's only good. I think it's really good that I can only see the top four. So Londa's going back to bed. Colleen says, Leo is my rising sign, as it is for Londa as well, if I remember correctly, as well as her moon or her sun. She's a sun Leo. First house with Mercury, Mars, and Venus, but full moons always make me so happy. Well, this one should doubly bless you then, Colleen. And okay, so who would like a reading besides Debbie? I've got Debbie Tibbetts Tumiel. I will take three more. And the first three of you to do that, Debbie, I am going to not pull one of those. I'm going to pull a goddess card for you, Debbie. Let me just unpack this deck though, because it's packed up. I should just leave it out of the box, but it looks so pretty all packaged up. So Debbie Tibbetts Tumiel, Vicky wants a card. Vicky, I see yours. So Vicky P. And Michelle Gay, good morning to you. I didn't see you out there, so I'm glad you did that. And Jacqueline. Okay, so I've got my four. Whoops, Jacqueline, I just spelled your name wrong. So Debbie Tibbetts Tumiel, this is yours, and this is a goddess card. And Jacqueline said she wanted a goddess card as well. Maybe we'll just stick with goddesses today. We'll see what I feel like here. And Debbie. Ooh, Debbie gets Lilith. Independence. Wow, she's got a lot of interesting imagery here. Let me go back to Zoom because I've got to be able to see what that I've got this in here. This is Lilith, and she was in upside down mode. So it's independence. And look at all that. She's got a snake on her head. She's got wings, it looks like. She's got that silvery eye. She's seeing into your very soul. So let's look and see what black, or it's Lilith. It doesn't say Black Moon Lilith. She's also card number 29, which is an 11, which to me is always about illumination, shining the light on something. So Lilith was upside down. That puts her in an alignment message for you, Debbie. And here's what it says. Do you sometimes fear being independent? You may have been conditioned to believe the only way to have close relationships is to become enmeshed and entangled with others. Do you long for independence and breathing space, yet fear reprisal should you choose to detach from unhealthy companions or situations? You'll need courage for the alignment task Lilith asks of you. Walk away and establish a more empowered sense of self by saying no to these relationships that drain your very life force. Sometimes people attract drama into their lives to avoid accountability. Enabling this dynamic helps you avoid the responsibility that's required when you have no one else to blame for the conditions of your life. Other people's chaos become a smokescreen that muddies the real truth. Deep down, you're afraid of the consequences of taking charge of your life. However, all is not lost. You would not be here reading these words or hearing these words if you weren't ready or strong enough to make these changes. You are up-leveling your life, Debbie. Lilith is beside you to lend you the strength and courage to do the right thing for yourself and for others. I see that working very well with this moon, and that's pretty cool. All right, so that's for you, Debbie. Next, Vicky, I'm also going to stick with the goddesses for you, unless you requested something different. I'm going to go back and check real quickly. Vicky. Okay, she didn't give me a card deck, so I'm just going to use goddesses, all right? So hopefully that sticks with you. And here we go. Good morning, by the way, Heather Scott. I see you out there. And let's do, these are interestingly sticking together in a weird way today. I was listening to the news briefly this morning and realize that here in Washington, we've not had two clear days in a row, two sunny days in a row, 2 days without rain since December 23rd and 24th, or 24th and 25th. I thought that was interesting. Okay, so Vicky, you have Spider Woman. She was upside down, Spider Woman. And I think we've had this card before. She is about co-creation, right? Co-creation, Spider Woman. And she was, again, in an alignment message for you. So 48. Okay, Spider Woman in alignment. You must be accountable for your creations, especially when you discover they are not truly reflective of your authentic desires or reveal they belong to only your ego. It's not enough to turn your back and hope they will go away. If you have hurt someone else, you must repair the break. If you have manifested something you're not prepared to commit to, be humble and release it. The form is rarely the same as you imagined. And you can always begin again by calling on Spider Woman's power of wisdom and co-creation for help. Sometimes you might get caught up in the strands of the web itself, only following the one you think is sparkly and matches your wants. This fosters the illusion of separation. Spider Woman offers you the alignment task of recalibrating your position. With her help, you could move out of seeing separation everywhere to seeing the truth that all life is interconnected and sacred. Ah, great message there, I think. All right, that was for you, Vicky. And Michelle, I'm going to go back to the goddess cards for you as well, my friend, and see where you are. Saridwen potential. So here's the card, Saridwen. She was upside down. Again, everybody's needing an alignment. That's perfectly in alignment with the full moon, by the way, to be needing alignment, right? So Saridwen, she's a beautiful goddess. And I'm hoping I'm saying her name wrong. If I'm butchering it, somebody tell me. Saridwen. And she is card number 9. And here's the alignment message for you, Michelle. When you become complacent in your comfort zone, you run the risk of never moving beyond where you are. Your true potential remains dormant and inaccessible. This may feel like a vague boredom, an envy of others, or an anxiety accompanied by a sense of low self-worth, reinforced by habit, or an addiction to feeling like life will be amazing for everyone else but you. Or in so many cases, it's just been trained into you after generation upon generation of repression and conformity. The goddess Saridwen comes to remind you that it's time to course correct. Your alignment task is to turn this around by releasing all judgment toward yourself and others and reclaiming those dreams you seem to have lost. Write down those dreams and set your intentions. Then look in a mirror, imagining that you're looking into Saridwen's transformative cauldron, and say them out loud as if they already happened. You are so much more than you allow yourself to be. Only good will come of your growth. Your dreams and cherished desires are important to the divine. The way is simple and profound. Just say yes with gratitude in your heart, and the goddess Saridwen will lead you to discover your highest good. I think that's such a great card for you, Michelle. Great, great, great reminder. And after Michelle was Jacqueline. And Jacqueline, I'm doing a goddess for you as well. Since I already made a mess of my desk, I'm wrapping these cards today. And let's do another. And your card, Jacqueline, and I don't remember if we've gotten this one before, Parvati, which is the card Devotion. Devotion. And this is card number 41, which is a 5. And she was right side up. And let's look at what that one is. Devotion. Parvati. 41. Okay. And this is an empowerment message for you. True commitment comes from wholehearted living in body, mind, and spirit. When the Hindu goddess Parvati rises up to greet you, she is acknowledging you for your sincere devotion to personal growth. With the world in so much turmoil, it's not easy to devote yourself to higher knowledge and strong faith. But if you are to serve others by being a bearer of love, compassion, and light, you must recommit yourself every day, as unwavering in your devotion as Parvati was to Shiva and her goal of bringing peace to the world. Parvati asks that you find silence in daily meditations to contemplate your devotion, as well as your commitment to all of life and to making the world a better place. The great goddess is present when you renew your devotion and make that relationship primary above all else. Then in all areas of your life, your every choice will be in alignment and in service to this truth. When the goddess Parvati comes to visit, it is a beautiful sign that you are on the right track. I love it. That's so cool. All righty. And now yes, Tom, you had that card. You did have that card last week. I thought I recognized it somehow. And Vicky says, alignment to me is balance from wholehearted living in body, mind, and spirit. It kind of cut off the comment there. Anyway, that's it for me today. I hope you all have a wonderful weekend. Remember, Venus is in Aries, and likely your relationships may be showing you some things this weekend. The full moon is triggering that axis of individuation versus being part of a group, and that may create a dilemma or a conflict also for us to work through over the weekend. And it may be subtle, and it may be right in your face, depending on how it's set up in your chart. But take it easy and just allow for this to inform you, right? Using everything that's happening as a mirror into your soul. All right, guys, take care. Have a great weekend. I will see you all on Monday. Until then, take care. Bye.